The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, hi there, folks, and thank you so much for joining us for this final in the series of a set of sermons that we were working through at Epiclesis on fear. And by the way, I'd love for you to pop over to the Epiclesis website, look under resources and podcasts, and if you haven't already, listen to the others in the series. I think it will help set this one up, give good context for this one especially well. On this particular Sunday, we worked through a litany, a guided, intentional time of confession and prayer, the naming of our fears, and then handing them over to the Lord Jesus. And we did that with a supplemental litany that we worked through together. We added that to the bulletin that Sunday, and we wanted you to have that as well. So if you will look in the story that accompanies this particular podcast, you'll see a couple of links there. You can print that out and work through the guided prayers and other parts of the litany yourself. One final note, I removed a lot of the silence that we intentionally used on this particular Sunday, and you'll want to perhaps start and stop this recording so that you can spend time and linger in different parts of the litany. I think you'll find it more useful and beneficial and meaningful if you do that. Thanks again for listening, and the Lord be with you.
For several weeks, we have been focusing toward this day when we're going to take action and to do something about our fears. And a couple of things before we jump in. First of all, I'd like for you to silence your cell phones, please. Dig in there if you need to and just double check because we don't want any distractions during this important time. Maybe you need to silence another Bluetooth device or something, maybe a smartwatch or something like that. Just make sure that's off. Second, you're going to need this insert. And if you have not already, well, supplement actually, if you don't have one, make sure you do. And there are several out on the table. So could somebody bring in some extras, please? You're going to need one. And while you are, I should have had you do this while you were digging, but you're also going to need something to write with. And I have some extra pens up here if you don't have one. Raise a paw if you need something to write with, okay? Can you help me distribute those? And if you have some extras in your purse or pocket, help out with that. If there are folks sitting for whatever reason in the lobby, I want to make sure you have what you need as well. Anybody else without one of these? Now, I want you to notice that I didn't have the long reach stapler with me, so there's actually two pages folded in there, and it may go flying, so make sure you use your thumb to keep it all together. You will also notice that you have a blank piece of cardstock inside. And if yours does not feature that blank piece of paper, then raise a hand and we'll make sure that you have that. All right. The next thing I'd like you to do is avoid the temptation to look ahead, because we're going to walk through this together. And instead of preaching some sort of sermon and then applying and whatnot and so forth, I'm not going to do that. We're going to work through this together. There'll be some places where I may have some thoughts that we want to talk about. You may have some feedback. We'll just see how the Holy Spirit wants to do that. I also left some blank places in here if you want to jot some things down. There'll be some places where I read, and then there will be some places where we will all read together. Those, hopefully conveniently, have been marked with the word all. They will be in boldface font, and you'll be able to see where those go. Now, I mentioned last week that naming our fears and taking them to the Lord Jesus is very countercultural, and it's something that the enemy's going to hate. So let's just acknowledge that right up front. He's going to hate it because he does want us to be separated from our Creator, and he hates you, because you were made in the image of the Creator, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. So let's just take some time right now to ask the Lord Jesus to be with us through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, whom we're going to talk about in just a moment, and guard and guide and protect us in this time together. I will start and finish, and if anybody in the meantime has a prayer along those lines, you lift that up as well, okay? Heavenly Father, we have been, I believe, at your direction, talking about fear and the nature of fear and where it comes from for the last couple of weeks. And now we have the opportunity to work through this little litany together where we name them and take them to you. And so I pray that you would protect us through the person and work of the Holy Spirit, that you would watch over us as we go through this particular time, and that you would put protection around us as we do work and business with you on an important topic today. Any prayers, saints? Then we ask you, Holy Spirit, to consecrate this time for your purpose as you do with our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, would you open up and we'll begin. I want us first to go back to the garden in the long ago. Why in the world would we do that? Because remember, that's where fear was first introduced. That's where fear comes into the world. And I have called it in times past Satan's, quote, gift, quote, to the world. That's where our ancient adversary comes. That's where fear is introduced. And so let's read some scripture. I'll read it, and then I want to ask you a question. This now from Genesis 3. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid." I want to ask you, I want to ask me today, right now, to do some serious thinking and pondering and contemplating on this question. Where are you? Where are you? More specifically, where are you with your relationship with the person and work of the Holy Spirit? We are going to be calling upon the name of and the person of and the work of the Holy Spirit. One counselor friend said to me that one of the difficulties in naming and destroying fears for many people is that, among other things, they have an impoverished relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit in us that is the antidote to fear. So if you are living in fear or have a fear-filled life, is it possible that your relationship with the Holy Spirit is not as close as it should be? I'm asking myself the same question. So Holy Spirit, this morning, we would do this first. We would say, "I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me for not being more passionate in my pursuit of a relationship with you, drawing near to you, for clinging to fears and phobias, looking inward instead of upward. Holy Spirit, this day we would say, we would rededicate our lives and that we would walk out our baptisms in such a way that we would be in close communion with you, Holy Spirit, come. In a few moments, Holy Spirit, we're going to ask you to walk with us in identifying and giving up and killing fears, and we cannot possibly do that without you. Holy Spirit, we understand that the gift of you cost our brother Jesus everything. And so we ask you to come and fill our hearts and lives afresh and anew, Holy Spirit. Amen. Why focus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit? Because it is through him that we have victory, and his presence in our lives is the antidote to living fearful lives. Jesus talks to his disciples in John 14 about what this relationship looks like, and we have talked about this before. Let's read that scripture. I'll read, you follow along. Jesus is talking now to his disciples, and particularly he's looking forward to that day, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes. And he says this, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." Now let's spend a few moments pondering that, contemplating that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality of this relationship. Holy Spirit, we marvel that you live in us. Lord Jesus Christ, our mind is baffled but blessed that somehow all at once we are in relationship with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, a little bit of spiritual imagination and imagery. Would you see yourself now stepping into the reality, into the relationship? You may even want to get up and take a step forward. I don't know. Whatever the Lord's leading you to do. But would you see yourself stepping into the reality that as Jesus is in the Father, you are also in him, and he is also at the same time in you. Would you see that with your spiritual imagination? It's a reality. And now would you thank the Holy Spirit for being present in you and for the gift of being located in Christ? Would you just do that now? If you've never taken the time to thank Jesus for this gift, you need to do it right now. John 14, 27 says, "I'm leaving you with a gift," Jesus says. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." I've printed it there for you on page 2. Look at that. Jesus says, "I'm leaving you a gift of peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give, it's a gift the world can't give. So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid." Would you just take a moment right now to thank Jesus for his gift? Oh, thank you, brother Jesus. You give good gifts. Perhaps you've never thanked him for that particular gift before. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gift. And we give you thanks in your own holy name. Amen. Now, as we think about and ponder, contemplate our fears, it's going to be really tempting, because this is the way the world does it, to look down and in, do a lot of self-examination and navel-gazing. That's the way the world does it. Spirituality is somewhere down deep. If we just reach down far enough, we can get into contact with spirituality or whatever. That's not the biblical way. That's not the way of ancient future faith. The biblical way is not a downward gaze, but an upward one. And the reason for that is simple. Because if we look downward and inward, that A is exactly what the devil would love for you to do. Focus on self. And B, if we look upward, that's where our reality is. That's where our salvation is located. That's where our spiritual strength, our spirituality is located. Look at Colossians 3, 1 through 4. And see the motion of this. See the reality of this. It's so encouraging. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Isn't that marvelous? Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Other translations, fix your gaze above, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Where is your life? You died to it. Where is it now? It's hidden with Christ in God. Look up. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Amen? How encouraging. Oh, don't be tempted to look down and in. No, look up and out. Satellite dishes are focused up so that they can receive. Fix your gaze on things above. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. Marvelous. Continue on page 3. Our confession is going to be important here. And we want to leave some time here for you to do some confession. Beloved, you have maybe been holding on to a fear or fears for a long time. Maybe, as we talked about last week, these are fears that you have even dressed up as righteous. This has to be a good thing because it's biblical, or I'm participating with God's story, when really it's fear-based. Or there's a fear or a phobia that's got you by the toe and has for a long time. You know what? We need to acknowledge it and we need to confess it. Because that means that we haven't set our sight above. We haven't fixed our gaze above. So I'd like for you to just spend some time now in meditation on confessing to the Lord. It might look like something like this. God, I've been holding on to fear more than I have you. That's just the honest truth. Reveal these things to me, O Holy Spirit. I want to confess them to you. And then we'll participate in this little confessional litany on page 3 together, okay? Let's be still before the Lord. Holy Spirit, continue to illuminate and guide. We got some things we'd like to confess to you. Hear our prayer. Perhaps you need to confess that you have succumbed to fear or given into it. Perhaps you need to confess that, like the children of Israel on the edge of the promised land, you looked at the giants and focused on the bad stories rather than on God's providence and might. Perhaps you might need to confess that in your disobedience, you were fearful. And like Adam and Eve, you hid when our Creator God wants to walk with you in the cool of the garden. You hid because you were afraid. Has a fear or fears kept you from having a full, abundant walk in life with the Lord Jesus? You may need to confess that. And so on page 3, there is a litany there. Let's take our time with this, and we'll pause between each of these phrases. Rather than something to read on a page, would you internalize this, use this, and lift up your eyes and make it your own prayer? We come to our Creator God, aware that we need Him with every fiber of our being. We want nothing to stand between us. We draw near, and He seeks, finds, and holds us. As we are held, we slowly dare to look into the face of the One who created us and holds us. And gradually, and without fear, our own faces and our lives begin to reflect His beauty. Eternal light, shine into our hearts. Eternal goodness, deliver us from evil. Eternal power, be our support. Eternal wisdom, scatter the darkness of our fears. Eternal pity, have mercy upon us. Now, we have acknowledged that we have sometimes held on to fears and maybe still do. There are fears that we need to name. We have confessed our need of Him, our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now we're building toward a time where we're going to name them. It'll be really difficult to defeat our fears if we don't declare war on them. Think about the time that David showed up to bring food to his brothers. And there the army of Israel was arrayed, and there's this one giant, Goliath, who, my understanding, his name in Hebrew means to expose. It's one of the things that Adam and Eve were afraid of in their fear, to lay bare, to expose. And the army of Israel, with all of their battle gear and might, are frozen in fear. And here comes this boy, a fella after God's own heart, who will not put on that armor that doesn't really fit him anyway, and he calls out and he names Goliath. One of the things Goliath was doing was mocking the name of God and the God of Israel. So David wasn't coming into agreement with him. He was calling him out. And he said, "You're the one who's going to fall this day." So he picks up a stone, and he slings it, and he lets it go, and it sinks into the forehead of that one who would expose their fears and knocks him to the ground and cuts his head off. Got to name your fear. Got to call out Goliath. Got to point him out. And then we're going to take those fears to the Lord Jesus Christ. So would you thoughtfully, prayerfully, carefully consider what I'm going to share with you now on page 4. Oh God, your people have always had their fears. And so we come to you in humility and with honesty, naming our own. Lord, some of us fear death, the loss of control over our thoughts, actions, or impact. Lord, some of us fear loneliness or getting sick, or having pain. Some of us are afraid of being shamed or humiliated, of being a failure, or maybe even sometimes being a success. Lord, some of us fear loss, rejection, being judged. God, some of us fear the future. And for all those fears which we cannot name, we come to you, O God. Those we can't name because they're either unknown or unspeakable, receive them in our silence. We're fearful so often, O Lord, because in our encounters with sin and evil in this upside-down world, we often find ourselves weak and poor. Help us not to shy away from quiet times, from the simplicity of prayer, scripture, and your presence, and most especially of a deepening relationship with your Holy Spirit. Jesus, the gift of your Holy Spirit is your ultimate gift to us, which cost you everything. Thank you that the presence of your Holy Spirit and your perfect peace drives out fear. We thank you so much then, Lord Jesus, for your actions and your words, for love, and for the promise of the Holy Spirit, and for your peace, which are our strength and our riches. And everybody said, amen. Now, here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like you to take the blank card that you have, and I would like for you to write down the fears that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you that we're going to give to the Lord Jesus today and kill. We're going to name them. We're going to ask the Lord to take care of them. We're going to bring them to the foot of the cross. And I would really recommend that you do this, that as you write them, you speak them as well. Name them. Call them out. You might, I mean, you don't have to do that at the top of your lungs, but I would encourage you to speak it out loud. One of the reasons that we're doing this, where we're writing and we're speaking and we're walking and we're doing something, is because the human mind needs to fix a picture of this. You need to remember this day. We'll talk about that in just a second. But you need to remember this day, to memorialize this moment. We've written them down and we've named them, and you can continue to do that if you need it. And we're going to take them to the Lord Jesus. Because again, it would be tempted to fix them ourselves or deny them or to downplay them or to think we just need to just somehow do it ourselves. We're going to take them to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they're far better left there and because he can destroy them. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this, "Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." In light of that scripture and truth, congregation, what is your resolve? In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Let's read it again. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. Here's what I'd like you to do. As you're ready, I'd like you to bring your fears that you have written down, spoken out loud. You have declared that we're putting our trust in the Lord God. You're going to bring them to the foot of the cross, tear them, tear it up, and just leave it there at the foot of the cross. And then I would like for you to take a moment to go back to the table that Pastor Rick has especially prepared for us today and memorialize this moment and light a candle, and in that act, seal, as it were, using your spiritual imagination, the giving over of this fear to the Lord. One more thing, as you do this, as you sit and contemplate or whatever, I've given you four wonderful psalm passages there for you to consider and meditate on. Now, I mentioned earlier that we want to remember this day and to fix it in our memory. Why is that? The human heart, the human mind needs action, needs concrete moments. It needs putting faith to our feet and feet to our faith so that we have that moment. We can look back on that moment and say, "That I've taken care of that. I did business with that." And we declared earlier that we put our trust in the Lord our God. Our ancient adversary Satan has been at work ever since the garden, seeking to instill fear. And he does so because of his hatred for us. For we are the beloved of God and made in the image of our Creator. And so, we recognize and reject the work of the devil. I want you to do that again with a little more energy. We recognize and reject the work of the devil. In the days that follow, what we have done here this morning, it would be just like our ancient adversary to call us to refocus inwardly on the fears that we've given to Jesus and to use the fear present in our fallen nature to bring us harm. And so, we will remember this day and the actions we took, fix our eyes on things above, and put our trust in the Lord. At the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bore all our sins, carried our sorrows, and took on and defeated that despicable gift of our ancient adversary, fear, by nailing it to the cross. Thank you for the cross. And with his precious gift of peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, our triumphant Christus Victor, has sent us the person of the Holy Spirit who resides in us, for perfect love drives out fear. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the peace that is ours through him. For as Jesus is in the Father, we are also in him, and he is also in us. Let all that I am wait quietly before the God, for my hope is in him. My victory and honor comes from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. And now, O Creator God, grant that we may ever seek your face and love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And in your infinite mercy, bring us at last to the fullness of your presence, where we shall be as you intended from the beginning, without fear, and where we will behold your glory and live your promised joys. Amen, amen, amen. Would you stand up and go congratulate a brother and sister on this marvelous thing that God has done in their life this day?
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future Faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.